Well, welcome to the Infinitely More podcast, where we celebrate what God is doing in the lives of ordinary people in really extraordinary ways. In fact, in ways that are infinitely more than we could ask or imagine. And we have the great privilege of having two guys that I consider really close friends with us today to be part of the podcast. They are Pastor Corbin Hogue, who pastors One Community Church in the Nickeltown neighborhood of Greenville, South Carolina.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Oh, yes, sir.
And Pastor Rob Rojas, who leads the Oasis Community Church in the Kensington neighborhood of Philadelphia. Yep. So welcome, guys.
It's an honor to be here. Thank you.
Yep, it's good to be here.
And we just want
to... I guess there's me, who is not a good friend of Rick's. So the two of you are really good friends, and then he just like stuck with me, the slob over in the corner.
Something like that.
Yeah, he didn't deny it. Did you ever deny it?
He did.
Yeah, you're privileged. Yeah, apparently.
So Jeff, as a senior pastor at Grace Church, it's great. I just want to, you know, spend the episode chatting with these guys, hearing their stories, and I'd love to hear your reaction too to kind of their stories and what God's doing through them and how they're a part of the movement of Grace Church.
Yeah, absolutely.
Love to get your have you share your heart about that. So, Corbin, why don't we jump in with you and tell us your stories. Tell us about One Community Church. Tell us about just how your story, how it got started there, and a little bit about what God's doing there.
Yeah, my story with One Community got started it got to go back to 2020, like during COVID. I was part of a large church in Atlanta, serving on staff there. But I kind of had like this holy frustration, kind of had all of what ministry success looks like, far as big stage preaching and doing all of those things, but still had this discontentment, worrying about people who come from environments, how I was raised, and that's in underserved communities. And so I remember calling Jeff in the middle of COVID and saying, hey, man, like, I feel like I'm called to like plant a church, like, walk away from this church that I'm a part of, and I feel like the Lord is calling me to plant a church in the inner city. And I never forget, I said, am I crazy? And he said, yes, you are crazy, because church planting is hard. But he just kind of affirmed like the dream that I had to go into the inner city to plant a church. And we moved here to Ohio, did a pastoring training program where we kind of dreamed and prayed about what the Lord would like really have for us next as far as church planting. In 2021, moved to a community in Greenville, South Carolina that's underserved called Nickeltown. Medium household income is $23,000. Single parent household, gang violence, all of the things, and felt like the Lord wanted us to go back there and share the hope of the gospel. And at the time of this recording, we celebrated our 4-year anniversary, and none of that is not possible, first, without the Lord, but without Grace Church. Like, you guys believed in the dream that we had and still believe in it, and folks are meeting the Lord, and we are making Jesus make sense in Greenville.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's awesome, man. And Jeff, I guess why don't you tell us a little bit about your connection with Corbin, and why Grace Church would have get behind a church planter in Greenville, South Carolina.
We got behind a church planter in Greenville, South Carolina because his name's Corbin. and I'm serious. It was Corbin and I don't even remember how long ago we met now, but we met and just kind of had a pretty quick friendship.
Oh, yeah, for
you know,
sure.
And it's a long story how we met, but we kind of met through another friend. And I just think pretty quickly, like, our hearts connected and our trust levels connected. And so we were friends. Corbin was in ministry, and I had been involved in, like, coaching the church and trying to help the church that he was in before he went to Atlanta. Yeah. And so we just struck up a friendship and a love for each other and a trust for each other. Then he went to Atlanta, which is why he called. We were friends already, you know? And so we were... we had been talking and know his wife, Kretisha, and his back then it was just the boys. His daughter wasn't born yet, but just love them. And when I met Corbin, I think I saw like this natural leader, a guy that loves Jesus, loved his story. Corbin's very has a lot of charisma, like he's a people magnet. So like I saw all that, but I think I also saw that you really had not had a chance to be in a healthy church.
Yeah, for sure.
And so when he was talking about going to Nickeltown, that was I was like, come up and just be a part of a healthy church for a minute, man, and like let us coach you, rest a little bit. Yeah. There have been some difficult things ministry wise that you and KK had gone through, and so I was like, if you just come up and rest. I had to talk him into it because he is a Southern gentleman, man.
All day,
he's like, first thing he's like, it's cold up there. I was like, listen. Heidi's Brazilian. If she can survive it, you can survive it.
So, sure.
But they just came up and we're here for about a year. And a lot of it was healing.
Yeah.
And then like there's healthy ways to do things. Yeah. It was funny, I think, and I don't want to just speak for you, Corbin, so jump in, but like I think there was a little bit of a pressure to be like a ministry superstar.
Yeah, for sure.
It's actually not your heart.
At all. Like it was, especially in the context that I was served in, and I don't say this in a bad way about Atlanta, but even just the South in general, that Christian celebrity thing is a thing. And the past ministries that I was a part of, it really was like pressure to be the next thing. And quickly, when I got to meet Jeff and just have conversations like with him, I'm like, for one, like he is a big thing, but he doesn't act like he's a big thing. Right, like the size of Grace Church, all of the impact, but he never carried himself that way. Mm. It was always about, he don't want people to go to hell. And that always resonated like with me because of my story, where I come from. And I think that was the immediate like connection. When he got to talking like that, I was like, that's it. Like, mm-hmm. I just don't want my friends where I grew up at in the environments that we was in. I just don't want them to go to hell. And so we like, really click with that. And I loved everything about Grace Church, like the health in the organization, how people like actually love each other, like, and like go after Jesus together. Like it was just attractive. But I think it was watching how Jeff, like even coached us at the church that I was at, that really like, that's something about him that I want to like be connected to. And so when we was in Georgia like that, I was like frustrated and she was like, call Jeff. And you got to know my wife. For my wife to do that, that just spoke of the trust that she has like in Jeff as well, and the love that she have for Jeff, and to see the impact that he has like on my life just really made it so clear. Because I was like, okay, let's go. And my wife, I had to like look at my wife like, it's cold up there. You sure you want to go? Like, you sure you want to go? And it just, once again, like it just speaks to the culture like of Grace Church and just the heart of Jeff. That my entire family, my wife, you know, was like, yeah, like, let's do it. But she did say, this is the last time we're moving, like, after we come to Ohio, so.
That's awesome. Yeah. You know, maybe just on that, maybe I'll just take a minute and explain this idea of affiliate churches. So Corbin and Rob both lead churches that are part of the 30 and 30 movement of Grace Church that we refer to as affiliate churches. And you can think of affiliate churches as churches that are part of our movement, but have kind of a separate kind of legal and administrative structure. So they're separate churches, but part of our movement. A real important part of being an affiliate church is that it's a church that we played a big role in starting and have a deep relational connection with. And obviously, you know, we heard that from just your description of your relationship, you guys' your relationship together. So that's a little bit about an affiliate. Rob, why don't you tell us about your story and the start of Oasis Church in Philly?
Of course, yeah. So I'm from the community there in Kensington and Fairhill, and I find myself down and out. I lost both parents. I lost two siblings. I was put away in a few different places. The last place that I was in, they had this life recovery meeting that would happen at Urban Hope. I had never heard of Urban Hope. And it's in the community. So I start going to Urban Hope because of life recovery. And I ran into this gentleman named Ed Lewis. Long story short, Ed Lewis takes me to his apartment and says, hey, Rob, how would you like to become a fat Christian? And I said, Ed, what is that? He's like, are you willing to be faithful, available, and teachable? This was 2016, 2017. And I said, you know what, given my background, everything I've been through, I don't have anybody. I said, are you willing to mentor me? And he's like, that's exactly what I'm offering you, an opportunity to mentor you. So then I came up under his wing, and I remember I felt like, my goodness, I found the answer that my community needed. Like, I found the answer that my community needed. So if this guy's going to bring me under his wing and train me up, I want to give that answer to the people around me. So that was my thinking behind that. Started working construction, started volunteering at Urban Hope Community Church, married my wife. We became leaders in the church. And then all of a sudden, there was a split. So I remember when the first split came, I remember asking God, I'm like, why would you bring me here if you knew this was going to happen? Like, you know my background. Like, imagine me telling God that. And then after that, like, it was now just a bunch of community people, relocators left, the missionaries left. So there's just community people and Ed Lewis leading us. And then there was another split because an interim pastor just wasn't a good fit. So when that happened, COVID came around, and now everybody's leaving. And I remember it was the last leaders of the church, and Ed Lewis and myself were standing on the corner of A and Tioga. And Ed Lewis says, what are you guys planning to do? And the leaders, one of his name was Orlando and his wife, they said, well, we're planning to leave and we're going to sit under somebody else and try to develop a different ministry that way. And Ed Lewis looks at me and I said, Ed, I mean, I have nowhere to go. I said, I'll stay here till the wheels fall off of this thing. I said, as long as the doors are unlocked, I'll keep coming. So I remember Ed was retiring. So I'm like, what am I doing? This doesn't make sense. Like, what's going on here? So Ed gives me all the keys and all the codes to all the properties that we owned on Tioga. And then he leaves. So I'm like, all right, this is great. But before he leaves, he's like, I want you to do life recovery. But you kind of got to do it on your own. And then I want you to do a community Bible study. You got to kind of do that on your own also. So I started doing that. And for a while, I felt lost because, like I said, I have these keys. I have these codes. We're doing Thursday. We're doing Sunday. I didn't really know. I knew of Jeff, but didn't really meet him. I knew of Eric, didn't meet him. And the only one I spoke to over the phone was Jesse DeBose. He works for Momentum. So I just felt really lost. And then 2 or 3 months down the line, I get a call from Jeff, offered me a full-time ministry position. So I went in with Momentum, and God was using that. I felt like God, in that first year that I was there, God mended whatever was broken between the community, the ministry, and trying to move forward with our Momentum missionary teams. So I know God used that, but then I know we ran into some financial situations. I know there was a safety issue to run teams at a Fairhill in Kensington after COVID. So we decided to give the properties over to an organization that was like-minded, right? That was willing to pour all of their resources and all of their energy back into that community. And that organization was Philadelphia Gospel Movement. So their plan for the church building, I thought, man, there goes my chances of ever opening that church building. So their plan was, we're going to bring a church from the outside in. And they had solidified like an agreement. And none of us knew this, but the church that was going to rent the building, they had their own congregation. So their focus wasn't the community. And Terry Davis, the president of Philadelphia Gospel Movement, called me one day and says, explain to me what was happening. He says, Rob, what's your heart for the community? I said, well, my heart for the community was, before the buildings were given to you, was to open that church, to bring honor and dignity to the community. Mm-hmm. That's a community church. It's surrounded by literally like 180 homes. I said, it should be for the community. And to my surprise, he says, Rob, how about if I give you the church building rent-free? Mm-hmm. And he's like, and we'll pay the utilities. Can you do something with that? So immediately, the first thing that popped into my mind, I said, I got to call Big Jeff and let him know what's going on. Because, I didn't know anything else. So I said, I got to call Jeff and let him know what's going on with this. But I called him. I remember it was like, I don't know, maybe February, April. And I explained the whole thing to him. And Jeff says, Rob, let's talk at Momentum Youth Conference. Well, that's in July. So I'm like, oh, man, so now I have to wait. And I was just wondering what it was that was going to come out of all this, and maybe what Jeff had in mind. And long story short, when we spoke and I told them everything that was going on in Philly and I had this building, I didn't really know what to do with it. That's when Jeff devised a plan to throw us into the sphere of the 30 and 30. And I was thrilled because there was no way we could have made it without the help of Grace Church. There was just no way.
Yeah, that's awesome, Rob. Yeah, Jeff, why don't you respond to that? What help us understand from your perspective why Rob, why invest in Rob in Philadelphia?
Well, we're in Philadelphia because of Rob. So it's a little bit like Corbin. Like I got to know Rob. Momentum is another organization that Grace Church partners with and that I run. And so I got to know Rob like just by taking over that organization, and we had some stuff to fix, and Philly was part of that. But Rob was there, and I just saw his heart. I saw his passion for the community. Rob is a guy. Rob and Angie are a family that lives in a very difficult community and doesn't have to be there. Yeah. They want to be there, and I'm like, man, they want to. It's hard soil. It's a lot like Nickeltown. It's gangs and drugs and violence and a lot of insanity. But they're like, what this place needs the gospel. We love this place. We're not trying to get away from it. And I'm like, you don't find that. Mm-hmm. And so just, Rob is a person. Both of these men are men that I have a deep respect for. They're married to incredible women. They have a beautiful family. And so that part's easy. But they would feel called to hard places. And I'm like, that's rare, mm-hmm. you know? And so they need, the places that they're called to don't have the resources that like a suburban church would have. But the body of Christ, I'm like, the Paul's very specific that the stronger parts come around the weaker parts. They're not weak in leadership or weak in spirit or weak spiritually, the community they're working in can't support itself and those kind of things. So I'm like, this is, God has brought like Rob and Corbin into my life. He's put me in this weird position of like leadership over, you know, the Grace Church and the world. And I'm like, this is a no-brainer for me. And so these guys, like when they interact with our elders, when they interact with as you guys are listening to this, you want to go to Nickeltown, you want to go to Philly, right? Because you're like, I want in on this. Well, God just raised up these very dynamic, very committed men of God who are like, yeah, I'll take the, which way is the giant? Mm. Let me get some rocks. I'm on my way, you know, kind of a thing. And they're just willing to step into these gaps. And I'm like, I admire it, and I'm like, well, we're in then. I mean, if you guys are doing this, we're doing it too. So now in the church world, they would call us their sending church. So they would say, you're our home. Right. So they're home right now. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, like we would our siblings or our children, we send them somewhere else, but they're family, you know? And so when they interact with us, they're not interacting with like a donor or a patron. They're like, hey, big brother, you know, we need this, or would you pray for this, or would you help us think through this? And we're like, yep, that's what family does. And and then we're blessed, you know, like their faith blesses us. When our like a Philly is set up a little bit uniquely even than Nickeltown is, in that it's created to receive teams. So it's a little bit of a long story, some of what Rob is saying, but like my kids grew up going to the church he's pastoring, or to that building, I should say. The church is new. And that has changed them.
Yeah.
You know, and the same thing, Corbin has families that are tied into Nickeltown. We go there, it changes us. So they're building us and creating us. It's not a one-way street. And I just say it, like I have a daughter that's a full-time missionary in Mexico. I have a brother who's a full-time pastor in Philadelphia. I got a brother that's a full-time pastor in Nickeltown. They're just family.
Yeah.
You know, and support each other and love each other that way. So that's why we do these things. Yeah. It's not a it's not this massive strategy of Grace Church. It's Robin Corbin is who it is. And maybe one day God will raise up another person like that. But our relationships is what draws us there. And you can, I think even as you guys listen to this, you can hear the kindred spirit. They are Grace Church. You know, there's no, you can just hear the kindred spirit in it. So it was easy decisions and God's been blessing.
For sure.
So I got it all wrong. I thought God put you in my life.
No, God put you in my life. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you needed it. Yeah. But when we go to dinner later, you have to buy it because God put me in your life. You owe me. That's what I'm just saying.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I shot myself in the foot.
Okay. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you said a bunch of things there, Jeff. They're great. And for sure, we count you guys as family and love you guys and admire your willingness to go to hard places. You mentioned that, Jeff. And I just think I'd love to hear from you both. Like, was there a moment? Tell us about the moment when you felt called to that neighborhood that you're in, Nicholtown, or Kensington.
Yeah,
why don't you start, Corbin?
Yeah, I can start. So Nicholtown plays a kind of a huge part, like in my come to Jesus story.
Mm.
And so used to be professional dancer for many rappers and stuff like that, but end up having this crazy encounter. Like with the Lord, like at this church, and kind of walked away from the entertainment lifestyle. And I never forget the first community that the church where I had this encounter with the Lord, the first place they took me to serve, it was called Operation Go, where they would go into these communities and do sidewalk Sunday school, where they'd bring a truck and we just unload the truck and do Sunday school outside on the Saturday. And the first place they took me was to Nicholtown. And so I remember when we was praying about, like, Lord, where are we going to go? I remember driving around. Like, we took y'all to my hometown, Gaffney, and we was, like, praying through that. But I remember going.
Which was an experience, I might guess. We stopped to get gas, and, like, 30 people were like, Corbin. I was like, what is going on right now?
Oh, yeah. And so, like, I end up going to Greenville. And so I drove around and just was praying. And I remember going into Nicholtown. There's a community center called Phyllis Wheatley that like oversees like the entire community. Like there's apartment complexes and then you see the houses like kind of in the background. And I remember sitting in Phyllis Wheatley's parking lot. And I was just praying like, Lord, like, where are you trying to send me? And I remember he gave me the passage, Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah saw the Lord seated on high, and he saw the Lord and he saw himself. And then after that, the Lord was like, who is going to go? And that when Isaiah said, send me, like, I'll go. And I remember sitting in the parking lot reading that, and I was like, send me, like, I'll go, like, I'll go. Like, I don't want these people to go to hell. Like, sign me up, I'll go. And that's when I told my wife, that said, babe, I think we moving to Nicholtown.
Yeah.
And she was like, okay, like, let's do it. So I remember that moment like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
Like it was yesterday.
It's been amazing. There's just been a thousand ways that calling from God's been affirmed in your life.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen it over and over again.
Yeah, I was going to say, man, after that moment, I was like, okay, we don't have any relationships in Nicholtown. And I remember sitting with a group of my closest friends who live in Greenville, and I was like, all right, y'all, like, I'm officially coming back to plant a church, and it was like, about time. and I was like telling them what I wanted to do with Nicholtown. I wanted to feed people, clothe people, all of the things. And I remember one of the guys who was a part of that group ended up sending me a website of an organization in Nicholtown. And I was like, it seemed like they're doing everything you want to do, but they don't have a local church. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, I just brushed it off and just wanted to use their building for just our core team gatherings. And my friend ended up going, long story short, ended up meeting the executive director of the nonprofit, and they was fasting and praying. We met them at the beginning of June of 2021. They felt called to fast and pray in May of 2021 about a gospel-centered church in the neighborhood. Didn't feel called to lead it, but felt called to be a part of it. And so at the June of 2021, at the beginning of that, my best friend goes, looks, at this building, and the executive director was like, where are y'all looking to plant? Where are y'all looking to plant? And they jumped in the conference room for 40 minutes and just talked about what our vision was going to be. And my best friend called me after that and was like, I've met your long lost brother, Cam. Like, y'all got to get on the FaceTime. And that just turned into a snowball effect. Right when I was praying, like, God, how we go get into the neighborhood, he opened the doors for us to be there. And now we 4 years strong. And I would say early on, we stood on their shoulders, like in the community, because they have so they had so much credibility and all of that. And all that was missing was a gospel-centered church. I tell everybody, I think we was a part of a bigger piece to a puzzle that the community was missing. And I thank God every day that he gave me the holy frustration to want to go into this community. And I like to say also, too, that I thought we was going into this community for the folks in Nickeltown, but I think God also knew that Corbin like needed the people like in Nickeltown. They're just amazing people who just need the thing that set me free. Because oftentimes in those communities, like how I was raised, they say the way you make it out is you got to dribble a basketball or you got to do some form of entertainment. And I had all of that, and I was still in a prison and I was still dead. But I tell everybody still to this day, the gospel is what set me free. Mm-hmm. The gospel is what got me out. And so now I'm in that same community giving them the same thing that set me free. Yeah. And so it's been a beautiful thing.
That's amazing. Awesome. Wow. Yeah. And it is just, you know, as I've kind of walked with you through that whole 4 year journey, it's been amazing to see God work in your life and shape and mold you in so many ways. And Cam is amazing. He's just, you guys just fit together like, you know, a hand and a glove. It's a perfect, you complement each other in so many ways. It really does feel like a plan that God had in mind.
Brought
you together. How about you, Rob? How would you describe the moment you felt like God is calling me to plant a church here?
You know, when I was young and I'd see my grandfather and my dad preach, I always felt like this inclination of the Spirit that maybe someday when I get older, I'll be doing something like that. Mm-hmm. But with the life I had and then losing all my family, those dreams and those aspirations like were dead and gone. Mm-hmm. And then I find myself at Urban Hope Community Church with Ed Lewis. And I thought maybe this is just a volunteer position to give back to my community, use my experiences to help those that are down and out. When the church broke apart twice, and then I'm left with the keys and I'm left with these codes, I thought, what I once wondered about, maybe that's what God is calling me to do. But it was just a lot of ups and downs. I thought that maybe God's calling me to that when I was left with the codes. Okay. Then I get into Momentum. Long story short, like you heard me say, we gave over the properties to PGM, and then I thought, okay, maybe not, right? Maybe not. Maybe I was wrong. But then when it went full circle and Philadelphia Gospel Movement gives us this building rent-free, again, I thought, okay, then maybe it is so. So it was a lot of ups and downs, and I remember just struggling through what I thought God wanted me to do. And I was a little bit confused and I didn't know what to think. And I had been through so many church splits. And I remember being alone with God and reading John chapter 1. Mm-hmm. And what got me was when Nathaniel was telling Philip, can anything good come from Kensington? And that's why I always mention it so much, because it was so personal. I didn't hear him in an audible voice, but I got to be honest, that I felt like if he spoke inside of me, I felt like he spoke to my heart and mind. And I'm like, can anything good come out of Kensington? When he said that, can anything good come out of Nazareth? I'm like, my goodness, can anything good come out of Kensington and Fairhill? I'm like a flea on a dog. Like, what can I do here, boots on the ground? And I don't know, I just remember God affirming that. Good things can come out of Kensington, and that's why I placed you here. I didn't hear an audible voice. I just felt like he told me that, and I remember me telling him, if this is you and if this is real, I will walk through whatever door you open. Doesn't matter how hard it is. But I told him, I said, just don't take your presence from me. Like, you can take this. We can deal with the break-ins. We can deal with the car crashes. but please don't take your presence from me, because that's what I really need.
Wow.
Well, that's awesome, Rob. You know, and I'd say the same thing to you. I know, I remember one occasion I had the opportunity to kind of walk the streets of the neighborhood with you one day.
And
it's just so obvious that you know the people, you know the environment, you know just the context and connect with everybody. Just amazing how you connect. And God has used you already, even though it's early on with Oasis, to see lives changed and people being baptized. It's amazing. I guess, Jeff, what would you say to, what kind of encouragement would you give a couple of guys like this that are in a context like they're in? How would you encourage them?
Well, I'd just say, like, as you guys are listening, I don't think you have to wonder anymore why we are doing these works.
Yeah.
Like, you hear their hearts, you hear their stories, you hear their calling. These were not difficult decisions to make because we're, you know, when God raises up men, and like I said, Kartisha and Angie, families, you know, and like we just need to be behind them. And I think I would say to you guys, I say this a lot, I love you, I'm proud of you, and we're not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. I know that there's people in my life that I'm confident in their love and faithfulness to me, and it gives me courage. Yeah. And I just want, like, your church is not going anywhere. And so we want you to have courage, you know, because it's a hard work. It's hard soil. I mean, these guys, you talk about a job, you know, this is hard. But your fam, you're never by yourself. Your family's with you in it. And I just think it's incredible. And I think God blesses that. You know, I love that, like, Rob, when you're saying, like, you know, when what good can come out of Nazareth, like, what good can come out of Kensington? I'm like, well, you came out of Kensington, you know, and Corbin came out of Nicholton. And I love both of you are like, I just want Jesus to do in other people's lives what he did in mine. And like, where does all that go? I'm like, I don't know. You know, that's all the Lord's business, but you're starting to see it. Like, to our listeners, we were just in a meeting where these guys were giving testimonies, you know, and like talking about a family that just got married and is walking with the Lord. Like, you're starting to see it. Corbin's talking about a young lady he baptized, and then another lady baptized her husband. Like, you're starting to see it. You know, God breaks these cycles. He breaks this death grip of sin in people's lives, and it's a powerful thing. So, yeah, but we're with you. I mean, that's just what you got to know. That's one of the things I like to say it, that one of the things about having a big church is we can bring an aircraft carrier to the fight, you know? And so, like, I know sometimes you guys are out there, like, feel like you're in a rowboat, you know, it's like, it's just you, like you said, a flea on a dog, but I'm like, yeah, but you're not, you know, we're right there and coming in and out. And I just want to say, like, Rick has been a massive part of this, you know, so this is part of Rick's role, but it's more than his role, it's his heart. Mm-hmm. And you've walked every step of the way, and you just see the people of Grace Church give and sacrifice for all of 30 and 30. Part of that's you, Rick. Mm-hmm. And, like, I don't know that we can do all of this without you in a very real way. And so finding the guys that God has called, and then, like, Rick is an example of we're not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, we're here for you. But it's so much. I'm sitting here just like, I've been emotional all day because I just can't get over what God does, and I can't believe we get to be in on it. I feel like the guy that got the free ticket to the Super Bowl, like, every day, you know, kind of a thing. So I just can't believe the joy and the privilege of being a part of what God is doing through you guys, you know, and that's what I mean. It's not charitable. It's brotherhood. It's just fun to watch, you know, and it's fun to be a part of. So grateful, and I'm grateful to all the people of Grace Church. Like, you guys, entrust us with so much. And I love that you get to hear their heart and, you know, and they're, and I'm just grateful that you're a part of it. So it's fun. Proud of you both. Very, very proud of you both. And your, and your wives. Like you, you have to meet these ladies sometimes. They're strong, and they have to be, because these are tough assignments, and they do a great job with it.
Yeah. Well, it's been a blast. I love doing it. I love the journey that we've been on together, and it's just like you said, Jeff, it's a joy. It's just a joy to see God at work in you and God at work through you, hearing the stories of life change of the people in your neighborhoods and in your, even in your own families, and it's been a blast. I got kind of one last, well, maybe two last questions, but I'd love to get your response to this one. How has planning a church in the context you're in a difficult context you're in, how would you say that's kind of shaped your own understanding of the gospel? How's that shaped you?
That's not Corbin's brain. Somebody's working on the somebody's working on the roof.
Say that again, Rick.
How is the experience of starting the church there, seeing God at work, how has it shaped your heart?
It's interesting because I always say, like, we do hard things, but impossible is where God starts. Mm-hmm. So to walk into situations where you think, because I get to walk in some of these, into the houses of some of these families, and they're going through some pretty traumatic stuff. But to see a situation, right, like say a situation of infidelity or a situation of severe domestic violence, right, or a situation where there's a Muslim who's a devout Muslim who abuses his wife, and look at these situations because you have some type of connection with them and say, you know, there's no way. Like, how can God use me to penetrate a situation like that? And these three situations that I'm speaking about, these three couples are now in our church. So when I see that, I'm like, man, it's too much for me, but nothing is impossible for you. And so I see that impossible is where he starts. And I mean, and if you're just willing, right, if you're just willing to step outside your comfort zone and step into, Jesus stepped into messes. Right. And I see that he's willing to step into the mess with me. And like Jeff said, I just want to give people the same grace that God gave me, because that's really what changes people. I mean, it was Paul that told Timothy, it's God's grace that teaches us to say no to ungodliness. So when I go into these situations with the grace of God, non-judgmental, speaking grace but a gentle truth, God's grace somehow begins to transform from the inside out. And it just blows me away over and over and over how faithful he is. He's just a faithful God who's willing to run into the fire with you. I mean, we saw it in the Old Testament. He was literally in the fire with them.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's incredible how God continues to do that. And then you see that in a tangible way. And then you're like, man, I can't believe that I was part of that, that you used us in that way. So God's been teaching me a bunch of new things of ministering into that community.
That's beautiful, Rob. How about you, Corbin?
Yeah, I think I was trying to sit here and pause for a moment because I said it somewhere in the podcast that I thought we was coming into the community because Nickeltown needed us. But I think the Lord really knew I needed the community of Nickeltown. And it's for this reason right here. It's just outside of Jesus, there really is no hope. Like the stuff that I see, I'm outside throwing a ball with my son, and my son hears what he thought was fireworks, and it was gunshots in the air. And I say, hey, son, let's go in the house. And then, like, you get a call couple of days later that you know who was doing the shooting, and it's just over $5. Like, it's like bro, what are we doing? Like, it's just, I've seen what hopelessness looks like. I've seen it, and not just like in my community, but I've seen it growing up. And now, like, I'm like, the only thing that matter, not a big stage, not a big church, but it's what Jeff was talking about earlier today, is people just need to be rescued.
Yeah.
And I think every time I see Nickeltown and I'm in a community, I'm reminded of that I was rescued. And now, like, I got to be in the business of helping other people get rescued. And I think it's that John 15, that apart from me, you can do nothing. It is causing me to be more dependent, like, on Jesus than I've ever have. Like, this has not been the most easiest thing, but it's been the most thing that's been worth it. Like, I just look at it and I'm like, this is worth it, man. This is hard, but I don't want to do nothing else. And it's just constantly, like, allowing that to shape my heart. Because at the beginning, I would say I went into this, like, in a kind of with a different perspective on, like, I was reading this book, The Honest Guide to Church Planting, that you gave me. And he was like, in one of the chapters, he was talking about how a church planter, like, actually come in with a sense of pride. Like, they need me. Like, I'm coming in to, like, put this church in this community. And I think I had that early on until I started looking around. And I'm like, no, we all need this Jesus I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And so looking at their situations just then humbled me in ways that I can't even explain. But it's just, apart from Jesus, we can't do nothing, man. Like, he is the hope. So,
yeah, you know what I've been leaning on to? On the fact that that this is his. Yeah. This is his ministry. We get to be part of his kingdom work and partner with him. So when I've experienced some of the hardships, and this is lately, I'm learning this now. Like, I'm like, you know what, Lord, this is yours. This is not mine. I just have to steward it well. Mm-hmm. So like Monday before coming over here, we had a break-in at one of the ministry properties. And then we get hit by a car. Like, our car gets hit by a car. And when I see all that, I'm like, this is spiritual warfare. But at the end of the day, these are your properties and you're taking care of us. So we handled it so well. This is Monday. Today, I get a picture. Somebody boarded up the window already, cleaned the mess, and it seems like we won the case. We don't even have to pay the deductible. Mm-hmm. And that's just, but this is one of the first times and probably the best time I handled one of these situations, because I was so chill and so cool. And I told Angie, I said, Ma, listen, God is bigger than all this. I said, God is bigger than all this. Nothing was lost. Nobody was hurt. God's got us. And just having that perspective and telling God, this is yours, right? This is yours. I'm just trying to steward it well. So here, can you take this, God? I don't want to be anxious. I don't want to be upset. I just want to trust you. And it's Wednesday, and it's like more than half of it was resolved.
It's
insane.
That's awesome. Well, hey, we probably ought to wrap it up. I'd love to have you guys just give us and give the people of Grace Church maybe one thing we could be praying for you and your church. What's one way we could pray for you?
Yeah, I was gonna say, can I get two real quick?
Sure. Okay.
It's only two. I'm sorry. It's only like three. Please, like I say this like, and I'm fighting back tears not to say it, but just keep my family in prayer. Mm. Like I just want to do that well. I want to love my wife, love my kids. Like, when I come up here, I get so inspired by looking at you guys as children, like how they love the Lord. And I'm like, I want my babies to have that. And I don't want the hardness of where I'm at, to derail them, like, from loving this beautiful Savior. And so just always, and my wife, Jeff hit it on the head. She's a strong, amazing woman who carries a lot of that weight with me, with being in the community. And so just always keep my family like in prayer. And I think one of the ways you can pray for our church is the Lord is sending so many folks to our church. We're preparing to go to two services at the end of August, which I am so happy about, but we need laborers, like the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And so just be praying for us as we move to two services. So,
Okay.
I'm in line with that. So I've heard it say that the light that shines the farthest shines the brightest at home. So I just pray for wisdom for my wife and I to be able to lead not only our family structure first, like our family home first, so that continue to be healthy. And I'm just glad that we're in a season where we're arguing a lot less, man. and we're attacking the problem and not each other. So wisdom to continue to do that, have our healthy family, but then wisdom, just a lot of wisdom to lead our community well, to hear from God, and then implement what it is that God wants us to do. So, just wisdom is what we need right now.
Well, that's awesome. We can do that. In fact, we have a monthly prayer call that we do, a Zoom prayer call. In fact, we'll put links in the show notes for anybody that wants to be a part of that. So once a month, on the first Monday of every month, we gather a group of people, usually 40 or 50 people, on Zoom and pray for the campuses of Grace and pray for God to move, continue to move through the movement of Grace Church. But we will put those prayer requests on the next one we do. And we'll have the group pray for you.
Thank you.
So, thank you.
Thanks so much. Hey, thanks to the people of Grace Church. Thanks for being a part of the podcast today and listening. And I would say take some inspiration from these guys. They're amazing people who, as Jeff has encouraged us in the past, to have a predetermined yes to when God calls, that we respond by responding to that call with a yes. And these guys did it. You're an amazing example of that. So thanks for being part of the conversation today.
It's a privilege. Yep. Yeah.